Good morning. Having run out of excuses for prolonging the celebration, we now return to ordinary time. Reinvestments, simpler decoration. But the most important fact about ordinary time is that we come back to the continuous reading of the gospel. We pick up Mark again. We've been using mostly Mark for other things, but we've been skipping around. The continuous reading stopped just before Ash Wednesday. So it's been a while. And we've lost a couple of chapters in the meantime. We left towards the end of chapter 1. We pick up towards the end of chapter 4 because of readings and feasts that got overlaid and things like that. So you might want to go back and read through those first 4 chapters as a unit to pick up the momentum. Don't know about that one. The place where we land is in the middle of the sermon on parables. Now, this is only one of 2 sermons that Jesus gives in Mark. Mark is very much an action narrative gospel, and the gospel is preached more by the arrangement of the stories than by the quotation of Jesus' teaching. Mark tells us a lot, and he taught them many things, and he taught them at great length, but it doesn't often tell us what he taught them. Twice it does. Here in chapter 4, we get the sermon in parables. In chapter 13, we get the sermon on the kingdom. Those are the only ones. Remember the old-time versions of the Bible where the words of Jesus were in red type? If you have one of those around the house somewhere, get it out and just sort of flip through it page by page. So there's not only a lot less red type in Mark. He is, after all, the smallest, so you'd expect that. There's a lot smaller percentage. You see a lot more red type per page in Matthew and Luke and John than you do in Mark. So when you do get these sermons, Mark must consider this really the very important stuff. And another clue to that is the way it begins. The chapter begins with Jesus saying, "Listen!" In colloquial American, we get, "Listen up!" It's a attention grabber. Obviously clear, he's calling for folks to pay attention. More than that, if you go back behind the English to the Greek and back behind the Greek to the Hebrew, what word's being used there? Shema! Which begins, of course, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, listen up, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Here in Mark, Jesus begins this sermon with that same cry. That obviously is pointing to something pretty important. The chapter opens with the very familiar story of the sower and the seed. The guy goes out throwing seed around, and some lands on the path, and some on the rocks, some in the thorns, some in good soil, and it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. When people heard that one, the emphasis was clearly on that result after that beginning. I mean, this guy's a turkey. Okay, farming in those days is a little less precise than it is now. And because they did a second plowing type thing, you couldn't, delimit exactly where to throw the seed. But you sure didn't throw it on the path or in the rocks or in the thorn bushes. But this guy does. You'd expect, listening to the story, boy, is he going to get it. But what he gets is yield 30 and 60 and 100-fold, when 6 or 8 would have been considered a particularly good year. You'll walk away thinking, boy, that's some seed. Then after a little bit of discussion about the teaching in parables, we get the same story again, this time allegorized. This is a morality play. It's not about, boy, what, how good is that seed? It's about what kind of soil are you? The rocks are those who don't have any roots and don't provide any roots. The seed among the thorns is those who are choked off by riches and so on. It allegorizes instead of parabolizes and puts the focus on us rather than on the power of the word. Now that's a useful thing to do, a useful thing for us to think about. How does it affect us? How do we fit in? What is it trying to teach us? But there's a danger there. The danger is that we'll get too wrapped up in ourselves, our response, our readiness, and forget that original emphasis on, boy, that must be some seed. So they add two more parables to take us back to the original emphasis. The story we get first this morning. Farmer scatters seed and then goes on about his business. Doesn't have anything more to do with it. He rises and sleeps and rises and sleeps, works and plays, eats and drinks. The seed goes on growing all by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the grain in the ear. Again, we're back to there's power in that seed. And then we get the mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed is not literally the smallest of all seeds. There are smaller seeds. But proverbially it was. It's the way the rabbis talked about it. It's the way Jesus talks about it. And it doesn't become a tree, mind you, but it does become a good, healthy bush. 6 or 8 feet. Birds of the air can come and build nests in it. This scrawny little seed produces this enormous bush. Must be some power in that seed. I think the original context is probably something like people's reaction to Jesus preaching. Kingdom of God? All I see is a carpenter from a town up north, a bunch of out-of-work fishermen, and a turncoat tax collector. This is the kingdom of God? Now, this is the seed of the kingdom of God. It will grow. It does have power. God does have something in mind. It will happen. So when you take this chapter as a whole, there's a balancing thing to be done. Yes, it is important to recognize our response and our role. If I pay no attention to the gospel and it gets plucked off the path, if I get down no roots and therefore wither away, if I get the word choked off by all other considerations, I'm not contributing. I'm a minus factor in it. There's something wrong here. I need to correct it. I want to be the kind of soil that can produce fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. But at the same time, never lose sight of the fact that the ultimate, at the beginning and at the end of the chapter, the ultimate emphasis is, wow, that must be some seed. The power of God's word is at work. It is at work in the world. It is at work in us. Depending on whether or not we respond and how well and how wholeheartedly we respond, we can speed it up or we can slow it down. But we can't stop it. God's word is at work. God's word will prevail. That little tip of a tree that God plants on the mountain will grow up to be the majestic cedar that you can see for miles around. God has promised, God will do it, says the Lord. The seed the seed is planted in our hearts. For most of us, that seed is planted very early by our parents and grows throughout our lives. And we have a couple of folks here this morning to do exactly that. Let parents and godparents and she who is to be baptized please come forward.